We got Braves baseball on these airwaves tonight, 6:55 pregame as they play game two of their series with the Astros. Braves beat up on those lying, cheating, dirty, rotten Astros 6-1 last night, much to the delight of our guest, the legendary George Plaster. George, good morning. As a Yankee fan, I want to thank the Braves for kicking the Astros' ass last night.
Yeah, how about that?
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Did anybody, I watched a little of it, but I never heard a trash can bang.
Yeah, the best is Altuve. Hey, don't rip my shirt. Yeah, I wonder why. Anyway, as you can tell, I'm still bitter about that, Plaz. I mean, I know a lot of people don't have a lot of sympathy for Yankee fans, and I get it. But, you know, that's been a bone of contention with me, as I'm sure you can appreciate.
Well, it should be. And to be honest, the people in the middle of that thing got off incredibly light. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really did. It was, you know, A.J. Hinch is now managing a good young Tiger team that is going to get better. You talk about Pete Rose and the sins he committed, mm-hmm. that baseball is punishing 33 years for because it's an integrity of the game issue. Well, what exactly were the Astros? If that's not integrity of the game,
exactly.
You know, I'll kiss your you-know-what.
And, Plaz, I mean, you know, I don't know how you feel. Let the steroid guys in the Hall of Fame. Everybody was doing it. The commissioner knew about it. It wasn't, quote-unquote, illegal back then. I think all those guys should be in. What say you?
You know, it's a weird one because the old guys in the Hall, I got to know Gaylord Perry really well before he passed away. For about 10 years, he would come on my show once a year when he was coming to town. And those guys are just ballistic that, you know, the steroid guys should not get in. I lean more toward you. And you know, I guess deep down, I hope that, that most of them get in at some point. I know they're getting closer mm-hmm. with each year, but I guess deep down I have a hard time seeing that Barry Bonds will ever get in.
And that to me, that's a shame because here's the thing, Plaz. Here's why I say that. You know, we all remember 1998, excuse me. I mean, that was a magical year, just 4 years after a work stoppage, and, you know, there was no World Series in 1994, and a lot of people were done with the game. And, you know, whether we like it or not, big jacked-up steroided home run hitters brought people back to baseball. You know, that home run chase in 98 is something I'll never forget.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was magical. You know, every time McGuire would hit one, here comes Sosa. Mm-hmm. And all that kind of stuff. But, you know, John, it's interesting. I'd be curious what you think about this. The public does not recognize Barry Bonds as the all-time home run leader.
Mm-hmm.
We had another one of these exercises a week ago where it was, the 50th anniversary
mm-hmm.
of Hank Aaron's 715. And I'm old enough to tell you all kinds of stuff about that night
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was a kid as a huge Braves fan. But you think about it, you never hear anybody ever say Barry Bonds is the home run king.
You're right. I mean, he is to me, and I love Hank Aaron and what he did and what it meant at the time he did it. Believe me, I if anybody can appreciate that, it's me. But to me, Barry Bonds is the home run king. I mean, you know, I know it's performance enhancing, but you still got to see the ball and you still got to, you know, time it up and barrel it up and hit it out of the park. So,
and that's what makes a little bit of Bonds' deal really hard to swallow, because he was so good, he didn't need all that stuff.
Yep. He got jealous of all the attention that McGuire and Sosa were getting. And he knew what they were doing. He was like, well, where do you get a load of me? And, you know, the guy hit 70, you know, almost 80 home runs that one year. You know?
So you want me to play talk show host and throw a question at y'all?
Go ahead.
Let's do it.
I'm going to do it today on my show. When the NBA initiated the play-in games, I thought it was a stupid idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I've since had to come around to say, boy, has it created some excitement. Should the NHL copy it?
I'm fine with it, but here's the thing. A number of years ago, you remember this, Plaz? It was one of those deals. It was the last game of the regular season, and it was one of those, the winner is in, the loser is out, and the game went to overtime, and it got decided in a shootout. I hated that. I hate the shootout. I think you treat that like a playoff game. You play 20-minute periods until somebody scores.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. I will say this. I like the 3-on-3. The 3-on-3 is fun.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Unless you're the team on defense.
No, it opens up the ice. It creates more scoring chances. You know, but I just believe, Plaz, you know, you play a 5-minute overtime. If nobody scores, the game ends in a tie. Each team gets a point. You move on.
Okay.
So.
But isn't this what sports talk radio is all about?
And that's why we're excited to have George Plaster back on these airwaves. George, real quick, tell us about the event you got going on with the Nashville Cats.
Yeah, so over the last year or so, I've done a series of, I guess you call it sports speaker series, and I don't know exactly how you're supposed to say it other than we have a live studio audience sort of watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we part of the, it's kind of a long form interview, and part of it is questions out of the audience. The first one of these I did was a year ago, right about now, with Barry Trotz. And I've done one with Candace Lee. I did one in the summer that was crazy. We had about 200 people when I had David Cutcliffe, Philip Fulmer, Watson Brown, and Tony Barnhart. They were in town for SEC football media days. So we did it on Sunday night. Anyway, tomorrow we will have Jeff Fisher and Eli Gold.
Wow.
We'll do it at 11:30 in the morning. It'll run until about 12:45. We do it out at the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. It's a free event. If you want lunch, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You simply order it at the bar. We're on the second floor, and if any of you would like to attend, do me the favor, email me at plastergeorge@gmail.com. Again, plastergeorge@gmail.com.
That's awesome. How excited are you that the Nashville Cats are coming back? I wasn't here for it, but from what I understand, it was a big-time party when they were here in the – late 90s into the 2000s.
Yeah, you know, I think it caught everybody off guard back then by how popular it was. They would play, back then they would play all their home games on Friday night. And so you can imagine people looking, you know, to be partying on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And they really kind of took everybody by storm. You know, it was a fun deal for a lot of people. It was an excuse to have a beer. They were smart. They had Andy Kelly from Tennessee. They had Corey Fleming from Tennessee. And those were sort of the marquee people. And Pat Sperduto, was the coach. Eddie Kayat actually was the first coach. And then Pat took over. And, it was wildly successful here.
Well, we're looking forward to it again. And you folks that want ticket information, you can go to thenashvillecats.com. Plaz, always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. Can't wait to hear you back on these airwaves. And I live like 2 seconds away from the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, so maybe I'll do a pro wrestling run-in for your first show, hit you from behind with a chair or something, make it spicy.
Come in there tomorrow if you get a chance. I think you'd enjoy it.
All right, I got to see what my work schedule is like over at the Big Nickel, but if I can, I'd love to be there.
That does sort of take priority, doesn't it?
Yeah. Plaz, thanks so much, man. Have a great day, all right?
John, thank you. General Patton, good talking to you. Come up with a good speech.
Will do. George, I appreciate you.
You guys take care.
All right. Sorry for hogging that interview.
No, it's fine.
All right. We'll come back and wrap up the show next.